tariff, 41%.
Good morning. Welcome to the Board of Public Works. Yesterday, I wasn't able to join Speaker Bush on the floor of the House chamber when they honored the outstanding team at the University of Maryland Medical System. But I want to applaud the Speaker on his incredible winning health battle and thank the wonderful doctors and nurses and professionals at the University of Maryland. We're both went through life-threatening conditions and both very lucky to live here in Maryland and have such great medical systems. In today's political atmosphere, it's sometimes easier to focus on what divides us, but as the Speaker reminded us yesterday, there are some things in life that are much more important than the little petty disagreements we have here sometimes in Annapolis, and we've got a lot more in common and a lot of important things to work on together. Speaker introduced legislation yesterday which establishes a tax credit for living organ donations, and I'm very happy to support that bill. I think it's a great idea. As you may know, I see some people looking at me cross-eyed. I had skin cancer surgery a couple of days ago, so my face is looking a little rough today. I was going to say you should see what the other guy looks like. I mentioned last week before I went to go do this, I said, I was trying to make light of the situation. I said, scars are cool. So I'm on the operating table. It was like a 3.5-hour surgery, and before they're numbing me up, and the doctor says, I was really happy to hear that you think scars are cool, because there's a lot less pressure on me here today. But I thought about wearing a Phantom of the Opera mask this morning. I couldn't find one. But we've got important business to take care of. I will say that my surgery was a complete success, and so for anybody keeping score, it's now Larry 2, Cancer 0. So. And one more thing before I turn it over to my colleagues. We like to, at some of these meetings, we like to recognize outstanding public employees, people that work for the people of the state of Maryland who do an exceptional job of customer service and who actually go above and beyond what is the normal call of duty. And we have such a person here joining us today that I want to recognize. I'd like to have Mitch Baldwin come up to the podium if I could. Is Mitch, he's hiding in the back of the room. You guys are clapping for Mitch, and you don't even know what he did yet. But Mitch is a valuable member of our executive services team, and that's the kind of customer-facing branch of the governor's office, and they handle every single day. Their entire team handles incredible help for people that call with any number of problems and issues and concerns, and they handle all the constituent calls and emails and letters and try to help people with whatever issues they're having. And the entire team of executive service, many of whom are standing in the back of the room, do a great job every single day under the leadership of our director, Gay Adams, who's here with us. But this was a special one that I wanted to point out. Mitch, just before Thanksgiving, he received a request for a Thanksgiving dinner from Mrs. Francine King, who was a widow living in an assisted living facility in Bowie, and her husband, a military veteran, had recently passed away. And Mitch decided to take matters into his own hands, and on his own time and with his own money, Mitch prepared a full Thanksgiving dinner for Mrs. King. The night before Thanksgiving, Mitch and his girlfriend brought her a turkey with all the trimmings and pumpkin and apple pie, and they took the time to visit with Mrs. King for a while. So, Mitch, we are so proud have such a dedicated public servant and such a caring person on our team. And so we want to present you this morning with a governor's citation honoring you for incredible customer service. I'd like to bring Gay and the rest of her team up here with you. Thank you. Thank you. It's also Mitch's birthday today, so happy birthday.
Best birthday present I've ever had. My mom and dad, they're great, and my girlfriend as well.
Mom and dad and girlfriend, too.
Can we get the family to come up?
Yeah, how about one with your family? Yeah. Come on.
You know, Governor,
we'll skip some of the business and just get photos. Okay, that's okay. Why don't you have a good start?
You want to say a word?
I just want to say thank you to everybody, my family, Governor. It's awesome to be on the staff. You know, it's all.
Thank you. It was wonderful.
My girlfriend, I couldn't have done without her.
Great to meet you.
Come on.
She baked the turkey, so.
We also have another birthday in the house today as well. Bruce Barriano. Bruce Barriano says that he's turning 39 again. But you know how lobbyists sometimes stretch the truth. But Bruce, happy birthday to you. You're a good friend. It's really appropriate to have Bruce here with us this morning because he was actually here at the very first BPW in 1864 when he was just a young lobbyist and Mike Miller had just been elected. So welcome. Happy birthday, Bruce. With that, we will turn it over to my colleagues for any opening remarks. Madam Treasurer.
Governor, good morning. It's good to be here. Let me add my thanks to Mitch. I was just saying as he left. It's more than customer service. It's being a very decent person. And it's something we can each do in different parts of our life. Believe me, my son and daughter can hear about this. I just, we don't agree on everything. And you know neither of us hesitate to speak up. But I'd like to speak up, too, about some really outstanding items on this agenda, I think. As last meeting, I think there are a number of ways in which Maryland continues to take the lead in both energy conservation and protecting the environment, issues that all Marylanders ought to be seriously concerned about. I think it's very interesting to notice that it's not in any one department either. Obviously in DNR, but also a major project today on the transportation agenda, the housing agenda, throughout the agenda and the items and the administration. And I hope we can note them as we go through, but I just think it's important for people to realize that we have some terribly serious, urgent problems facing us, whether some people in Washington want to recognize them or not. And it's good to know that Maryland and Maryland's leadership does. And one of them, the county executive of Howard County is here to address, but I just want to say it's noted, and it's very much appreciated.
Well, thank you. I see the Secretary of Environment, who you didn't mention, is beaming with pride over here. We have done a great job protecting the environment, among other things, but I thank Secretary Grumbles for his efforts as well. Mr. Comptroller.
Thank you, Governor, and my wife, Andy, and I are delighted that you got through the little surgery that you mentioned. And I have to say you look terrific.
Thank you.
I'm a big ice hockey fan. Welcome to the Washington Capitals here. But seriously, I want to just give you her best wishes and my best wishes.
Thank you.
And,
you know, I thought the losing the hair made me look tougher, but I'm really going to be intimidating now when I'm dealing with Miller and Bush. You know, it looks like, don't mess with this face.
Yeah, that Miller's story is worth the price of admission today. So I'll try to remember that line. And Mr. Barriano, I'm glad that you recognized him. Honestly, he provides a lot of glue to the whole institution down here, and no good deed goes unpunished, of course, but in our profession, but Mr. Barriano represents something that obviously we kidded about going back a long time, but he represents some continuity of relationships that are important to a lot of people. So thank you, Governor, for recognizing him. I didn't have the courage to wish him happy birthday. But I would like to make a comment about tax fraud and identity theft. Obviously, we have opened up the tax season recently, and we've processed well over 100,000 returns, sent more than 90,000 refunds out to people. But the issue of tax fraud is a huge priority for my agency because the thieves follow the maxim of the early bird gets the worm, and most of the thievery happens early in the tax season. So we're seeing fraudsters shamelessly targeting the financial security of innocent and hardworking Marylanders by trying to step in and get their tax refund. Just last week, my office suspended processing returns from 9 highly suspicious tax preparation services across the state and in the District of Columbia. And this new batch of suspended preparers are on top of the 95 other suspicious tax preparation services that we blocked in 2017 and 2016. Thanks to our very sophisticated fraud detection model and our dedicated staff, we flagged these tax preparers after seeing a high volume of questionable and, yes, potentially fraudulent returns. These tax preparers have the opportunity to come into our office and prove that the returns they have submitted to us electronically are legitimate and accurate. Funny thing, none of them show up. A couple of them make appointments. So this system we have is pretty good. I'm very proud of the fact that since I took office, my agency has identified and blocked more than 88,000 fraudulent returns and prevented the disbursement of more than $190 million in fraudulent refunds. Our continued success in protecting Marylanders from financial fraud is due in large part to last year's unanimous bipartisan passage of the Taxpayer Protection Act. And, Governor, I just want to once again express my gratitude to you and the General Assembly for your strong support and theirs of that legislation. In today's technologically advanced world, it is more crucial than ever to be vigilant and proactive. Literally, every day there's some new permutation of a fraudulent return. To keep pace with the increasingly sophisticated financial schemes targeting the most vulnerable in our society, in the years ahead, my agency will continue to use every tool available to protect Marylanders from tax fraud and identity theft, and work with law enforcement partners to bring these financial criminals finally to court, hopefully to justice, hopefully to jail, because of the emotional injuries that they, along with the financial ones, they wreak on the citizens of the state of Maryland. And we're talking more than 12,000 Marylanders as we speak who are struggling with the fact that somebody's got their identity and is taking out mortgages in other states in their name, literally. And obviously the IRS and everybody is getting conned by these fraudulent returns. We're doing our best to hold the line in Maryland. And knock on wood, making progress. And Governor, thank you again for picking the Taxpayer Protection Act off the floor. Because it didn't pass for a few years, and now it's the law of the land, and I think it will really benefit the citizens.
Thank you. I guess we'll go ahead and get started with Secretary McDonald, Secretary's report.
Good morning, Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. We have 21 items on the Secretary's agenda. No reports of emergency procurement today.
I think we're going to jump to item number 20 because we have the distinguished county executive from Howard County who has joined us this morning to speak on this particular item. So welcome, Mr. County Exec.
Mr. Darnell, too, from the Consumer Authority.
Oh, yes,
this is his recommendation. Okay, and County Executive Kittleman, yes.
If you want to, like, Mr. Darnell, could you first explain what's going on?
Yeah, sure. I only have a list that only has you, so I didn't mean to leave you out. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Thank you very much. My name is Don Darnell. I'm the Executive Director of the Maryland Food Center Authority. And it gives us great pleasure to be before the board today. This is a project of first impression in the United States, and they selected Maryland. And further, they selected Howard County as the first location to build a biogas anaerobic digester. We're very excited. The food center has spawned a business cluster of food businesses within the region within Howard County. So Howard County is the proud owner of a business cluster that consists of food companies. We have about 100 companies within a five-mile radius of the food center. And this particular project is designed to take the food waste that we're now putting into the waste stream and being able to take that food waste and convert it to renewable energy. The plant will be able to provide both electric, steam, and gas, as well as a high-grade agricultural fertilizer. We're very proud of this project because it supports our commitment to social responsibility and our commitment to the environment and doing everything we can to contribute to a healthy environment and do everything we can to prevent our products from going into the waste stream. We're very happy. We had a great relationship with the county. The county's been extremely supportive of that. And with that, if you don't have any questions particular about the lease, I'll turn it over to the county executive.
Thank you very much.
If I could briefly, thank you, Mr. Arnell. We've had a really great relationship with the Food Authority and the Food Center. I was sitting here thinking about what the treasurer said and her kind comments. And, you know, this is a great example of where something's good for the environment is also good for business. And so many times we feel like they can't be together. This one's a perfect example of that because having the biodigester at the Food Authority and the Food Center will allow those businesses to save money on not having the chart take everything away and put it into the landfill, but also saves our landfill from not having all of this food waste. And it's renewable energy being created. I mean, it seems to me it's a win-win-win all the way around. I was very fortunate that I got to go to Italy this past fall to actually meet with the leaders of the BTS Bioenergy Company. And Sean Kreloff is here in the back. He's actually the executive director and the CEO of the Americas office for BTS Bioenergy. If you have any questions for him.
Which is where?
It's actually in Connecticut, where your office is?
No.
Well, no, the headquarters will be here, but you haven't got it yet. We got to get this lease, so they'll put the headquarters here in Howard County. But right now,
Howard County.
He lives in Connecticut, but they will have a headquarters here. Their North American headquarters will be in Howard County. Should we be able to get this through and provide at least 20 jobs to start with, and then hopefully, if they can build more of these facilities, then this will be the place where they'll have their main headquarters. But we had a chance to go visit them over there. They have 190 of these operations throughout the world, none in the North America. And so this would be their opportunity to start here. But I think it's a great thing for us to do. I think it's a real trendsetter. I think it's something to show people how we can move forward. And when you think about how much food waste goes to our landfill, it just doesn't make any sense. And so I'm just here to endorse this and to ask for your support. If you have any specific questions, I know I sent a letter to you. If you have any specific questions for me or our Economic Development Authority Director here, Larry Twills here, as well as Mr. Kreloff.
Thank you very much.
Could you perhaps bring BTS sure. up
yes.
and also bring Peter Ettinger up?
Yes. Yeah, Peter's also working with BTS Energy, Bioenergy.
Good morning.
Good
morning.
Welcome. So what exactly is, what's it called, a biogas digester? What is it?
Anaerobic digester.
Right.
So we're taking organic waste and using microbes, just like are in your stomach, and we're making methane gas out of it, which is natural gas, and we're making organic fertilizer.
Mr. Ettinger, what's the potential for this in Maryland, in addition to what you've got going in Howard County?
Well, we're incredibly excited to call Maryland our home. I've only been around here for about 30-some-odd years, so I'm also incredibly excited to call Maryland my home. We could see this easily going county by county. Principal business location, significant business parks, even academic institutions. Any place where there's organic waste, you really should be looking at that in a creative way. And we think we've embraced a creative approach. It's good for the economy and good for the environment.
Thank you.
Thank you all very much.
Great.
Thank you.
Very excited. The only thing I would ask, and I guess Mr. Dunne, or all of you, there are some steps between now and the time it's in operation and full, and may include some sorts of either business or environmental certifications. And I hope you'll keep us informed as it goes on so that we can – I think it sounds like a great, great project, and you would hate to see it bogged down in unnecessary red tape or bureaucracy.
We'll do the best in Howard County to make sure it just goes through. but I also want to thank, you mentioned Secretary Grumbles. he has been a great partner with this as well. We've met with him to discuss this and working very closely with the Department of Environment as well.
I was going to ditto. I think the other departments in the administration have been extremely helpful in helping us look at this project and determine its viability. In addition to the fact that they have this history over in Europe, we have a lot of partners within the state that also need to take credit for the fact that this project is going forward. So we want to thank the Department of the Environment, Department of MES, and others for their support.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
It's exciting. Any other questions on the Secretary's agenda?
I have a brief one on the other one I mentioned, the housing, 7 and 8. I think it's 7 and 8.
Housing?
Is, I think you answered us in writing, and if so, I apologize for duplicating it. But these are great projects, and they're going to include, as I understand it, sustainable and energy efficient both refrigerators and other appliances inside and then also to the outside envelope of these buildings. Question arose about solar energy. And the response, as I understand it, was, well, this is really something for the developers, and it may not be cost-effective. And then the question was, well, what can we do to help make it cost-effective? And that's my only question. I mean, I'm not in any way critical of what you're doing. I think it's a great project. I appreciate the opportunity to support it. But to take that next step.
Good morning. John Manable, CDA Deputy Director at Maryland Department of Housing. Thank you for the question, Treasurer Kopp, Mr. Governor, Mr. Comptroller. 7 and 8 are two housing items. The first is in Montgomery County Parkview Manor. Have with us today Stephanie Grudman, who's Director of Development of Montgomery Housing Partnership, the developer. Item 8 is Freetown Village in Anne Arundel County. Have with us Executive Director Cliff Martin from the Housing Authority. Both of these properties follow a long-standing tradition of the Department of investing in affordable rental housing. For about 10 or 12 years now, we've taken a very active approach towards energy efficiency measures. And some of the items we provided you with were the kind of standard energy efficiency improvements we make. In the areas of renewable energy, such as solar energy and geothermal, we have invested in those in the past in our rental portfolio. And it's really based on sort of an economic analysis as to whether it makes sense in an individual circumstance. Often as well, it's possible to retrofit the properties after we finance them with solar, especially because of some innovations in the solar industry. In both of these cases...
Is that less expensive than doing it?
It can be more efficient to do it after we do our transaction because of the power purchase agreements that owners can enter into to facilitate the installation of solar. I'm getting a little bit out of my area of expertise, so beyond the responses we gave you and I'm providing today, I'd be happy to do some more comprehensive follow-up for you about, you know, how those leases work and properties have been installed on our
portfolio. The only thing is it sort of left hanging a question of whether there was anything the state, with its present programs, could do to make it more the upfront cost.
Yeah, we do
more reasonable.
And there's a lot of innovation going on within the department's energy efficiency team as well. There's a lot of overlap between the work that they do using funding that comes from the Public Service Commission through the Empower program, as well as some funding they receive from the Department of Energy. And so we've been able to do some innovative things over the years in renewable energy. But I do want to be clear that, you know, the lion's share of the work that we do to save energy at our properties is in what we kind of consider the lower hanging fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Insulation, duct sealing,
appliances.
These are, you know, they're not particularly exciting things, but they have a really good bang for your buck, and we've developed some really interesting processes over the years to affect those. And as County Executive Kettleman calls it a win-win-win, we call it a triple bottom line kind of approach. The tenants benefit from lower energy utility bills. The properties benefit because they're more efficient and better retrofitted, and the environment benefits by not using so much energy.
So let me ask you this. Do you actually have a checkoff list as you look at a project of...
Yes, we do. Our staff does an analysis, but we also rely on third-party energy audits that are done by professionals in the industry who go out, look at the property, look at the expenses of operation, and figure out what the best set of retrofits are. And then we'll look at those from a cost-benefit analysis to figure out which are the ones that have the greatest return on investment over the shortest period of time. And that whole arena of energy analysis, energy audits, has really taken a lot of movement forward over the last 10 or 12 years.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Any other questions on the Secretary's agenda? Second. Nothing on the Secretary's agenda. We're going to move on to the DNR real property agenda.
Thank you, Governor.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Mr. Comptroller, Madam Treasurer, for the record, my name is Mark Belton, the Secretary of the Maryland Department of Natural Resources, and we have 8 items on our real property agenda for your approval this morning.
Questions on DNR?
Yes, I just wanted to compliment Secretary Belton and Emily Wilson also on these open space projects because they're pretty boring, park benches here and this, that, and the other thing, but they're super important.
This is Emily's life you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's very important.
Boring.
And exciting.
Nothing controversial, let me put it that way. But it's, you're serving the best interests of our citizens when the open space dollars are allocated properly. God bless all of my friends who are bird watchers, but we need parks. We need fields. We need areas that seniors can use. And please keep that focus, and I know you have it, but if you want to mention a few of these outstanding projects, very exciting projects, Helmo, feel free. But, Mr. Secretary, thank you for running a good ship over there.
Well, thank you, sir. If I could mention, just make a point there, piling on to your goodwill. You know, the governor's budget in fiscal year 19 provides $58 million for these local projects through Program Open Space Local, which for counties like number 2 on our agenda today, Caroline County, the more rural counties that don't have as big a budget as some of the larger ones, it makes a tremendous difference. It lets them have their citizens an equal playing field, if you will, for the standards for their recreation amenities and improves their quality of life significantly. Just looking at Caroline County's track history here, they've got an average over the years of about $135,000 annually through Program Open Space Local. And the fiscal year 19 budget has them at $275,000. So it's really making a huge difference to them across the state, but particularly in our rural areas. Thanks for bringing it up.
Thank you. Any other questions on DNR? Motion approved. 3-0 on DNR. We're going to move on to the Department of Budget and Management.
Good morning,
Secretary Brinkley.
Governor, Mr. Comptroller, Madam Treasurer. For the record, David Brinkley, Secretary of Department of Budget and Management. We've submitted 10 items for your consideration today. I am withdrawing items 3S and 4S. Items 9 and 10 are supplemental, and items 8 and 10 have been revised. And I have people here to address any concerns or questions that you might have.
Any questions on budget? Second? Done. University system. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah. Joe Evans, representing the University System of Maryland. We have 4 items on the agenda. Here to answer any questions.
I don't have any questions, Joe, but I wanted to mention the passing of Robert Martinazzi. I want to extend our thoughts and prayers to his family and to his university family. I know he was a great contributor and director of procurement and strategic sourcing at the university. He played a major role in prepping for these meetings.
For these meetings and answering questions. He will be missed.
So please pass on our condolences. Any questions on the university system?
Yeah. What item is this? Item 4?
Mm-hmm. Okay. You want to tell us about item 4? Jill.
Oh, yes, it's the University of Shady Grove. Item 4.
It's the Shady Grove.
It's the award construction bid package 4 at the University of Shady Grove. Somebody here from College Park?
From College Park. Bill Olin.
And unfortunately, but we do have Bill, but Mr. Bob Martinazzi was from College Park and he decided. Anyway, Mr. Olin is here from College Park. There's a question on your University of Shady Grove bid package.
And the president of the campus.
Good morning, everyone. Governor, board members. Bill Olin, Executive Director of Planning, Construction, College Park Service Center. Here to answer any of your questions.
Okay. So the question is, this is a $148 million, $800,000 project. Am I looking at the right one?
Got to get my stuff out. I just ran in the room, but I think you are correct. I will believe your number, sir.
Well, it says the contract will be $148.8 million. The project is $163.5 million.
Correct.
That's the word Adam says.
So beyond the construction contract, design fees, contingency, capital equipment.
Okay. I'm more interested in the amount paid to Gil Bain for construction management.
Sure. The numbers I have, the total contract we have to date to Gil Bain is a little over $8.9 million.
Okay.
And that's split between pre-construction effort they do before we start construction, their on-site general conditions, which are trailers, trash, labor, and then their home office fees, including insurance and their product.
So that's $9 million, and they don't do any construction.
They manage the subcontractors. They do the advertisement. They may have a few employees on site that are responsible for safety on the site with the subcontractors, but they're not, what I would say, to answer your question, installing materials or equipment.
Okay. So if you could just get back to us when you have a minute. I know you're in transition down there, but I'd like to know exactly what they did for the $9 million. Yeah, I know you just recited some of them, but I'd like it specified, and if there's some receipts or some invoices or something that makes.
We can show you we can send you along the RFP that we put out for competitively for our CM services that explicit what they're required to do during pre-construction and during construction.
Yeah, but you're giving them $8.961 million. All I'd like to see are the invoices.
Just the invoices.
Well, whatever it is you're paying.
We can prepare a package for you, what was in their scope, what we asked them to do,
what
services are provided.
Yeah, I'm less interested in the RFP, and I'm more interested in what exactly they're getting paid for. I know it's 6% or so.
That's 6%, correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd like 6% sometimes of these contracts. So perhaps you could indicate specifically what it is they are charging you for. Thank you.
Yes, sir. I can do that.
Any other questions on the university system?
Only to say I'm glad to see this project moving along. I was a bit concerned when it was taken off the agenda last time, and glad to see the president of the campus here. I have no question except when I'll see a ribbon cutting and when we can get students in the program and courses starting up, which I hope will still be 2019. Is that right? Thanks.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Is there a motion?
Move approval.
Second. 3-0. Secretary Leahy, Information Technology.
Good morning, Governor, Madam Treasurer, and Mr. Comptroller. For the record, I'm Michael Leahy, Acting Secretary of the Department of Information Technology. Today we have three items on the agenda, but we are withdrawing item 2, IT Mod. And there are agency representatives here to answer any of your questions.
Questions on IT? Second. 3-0. Department of Transportation. Secretary Rod.
Good morning, Governor.
Good morning.
I do like the look.
Thank you.
Hockey
look.
Mr. Comptroller, Madam Treasurer, for the record, my name is Pete Ron. I am the Secretary of the Maryland Department of Transportation, and MDOT has 10 items today, and we are here to answer any questions. I would like to add one thing, which is for the Comptroller, I filed my taxes on Saturday midnight, and I got my refund last night.
Wow. That sounds like preferential treatment.
Actually, that was a little longer than we take with other people.
Special scrutiny, huh?
I think we need to look into that one. Any questions,
Governor,
on it?
Yeah, can you just talk about 11 a bit?
I certainly can. We're excited about this as well. Laura Rogers here has spearheaded this effort and just doggedly pursued an approach to bring more solar energy into the department. And so what we have here is economic efficiency for the department as we will gain electricity for our own use. And then we are making electricity available to the grid through making properties available to one of six approved firms here. And we are making available to them sound walls, and where they can place south-facing sound walls, their equipment, or their panels. And obviously, we're talking about, you know, a benefit to the overall economy. It's good for the communities. The electricity that we don't use will go into the grid, and it will go into the grid only if it's a lower cost than what is currently being charged there. So we see this as a great step for us, and it continues, I believe, to put Maryland out in the forefront of ecological improvements by state government.
As I understand it, this is what I was looking for. You're starting off with 35 sites. Is that right?
Laura, why don't you... Yeah. But the answer, I do believe, is correct.
Around 35. The state.
Yes, around the state.
I'm going to bring in the expert. The secretary doesn't know everything about everything.
I have now exhausted my knowledge from this project.
But it was very good.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Laura Rogers. I'm the program manager spearheading this project. And, yes, so the initial phase one, there are 35 sites. Most of those sites are located at MTA, MVA, and SHA, and we also included the headquarters site. So these sites are really just kind of the easiest, so don't require a lot of valuation. They're ready to go.
And then how long will it be before things are up at 35 sites in this first?
So through the design and, you know, the secondary competition, which is how we set up this contract, we expect maybe 18 months or so to actually get them in the ground and operating. The interconnection agreement is always a little bit iffy, working with the utilities and how we get on their list of priority, but it's about 18 months or so.
So we should look forward to the governor cutting 35 ribbons.
Sounds good to me.
And then stage two will be what?
Sounds like an endorsement to me.
Just that. Hey, Governor.
Hey, Governor, we'll cut the ribbon, she says.
And the second stage?
So stage two, those are sites that we're currently looking at, but are a little bit more complicated for various reasons. So, you know, potentially the airport, the Port Authority, or Port Administration, sorry, some transit-oriented development sites that we have. You know, they just take a little bit more cooperation with other agencies, the federal government, things like that. The noise barriers. Is an innovative use. They have them in Europe, but none in the U.S. so far. So we're looking at that. But again, we have to do some studies, maybe a pilot, making sure that we don't diminish the use of the noise barriers, what it was intended for.
There was a time a number of years ago when both the comptroller and I, in different roles, seemed to spend a great deal of time focusing on noise barriers around the Beltway because that's where our districts were. People were quite concerned. The comptroller senator was particularly, if you recall.
Yeah. But I served for 16 years with the senator, and she finally mentioned me in public.
which I thought was a record. I don't begrudge it because I don't need the visibility, but it just shows how sometimes we focus our
yes. But you did all get the noise barrier.
I noticed neither one of them mentioned the senator's name.
But we will, Madam Treasurer. I mean, I'm excited about the use of sound walls for more than just sound barriers. And I'm excited about using these in a way that they've not been used in the United States. So that's an area.
We like being on the cutting edge, so let's keep focused on
that. And my other question is, so you're going around looking at all these sites. Obviously, your sites are sites associated with you all. But we have a lot of other sites in the state owned by the taxpayers in DGS sites and others. Are there lessons learned from what you're doing that can then be applied to other parts of our portfolio, as it were?
I mean, I think absolutely, and even just between states, we've taken lesson learned from other states as well. So,
but we hate to share the secret sauce. And,
but I think Secretary Churchill would love to hear all the great ideas you have about the solar.
Give me the sauce.
You can put it on every building and every piece of property beyond. So thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you. Any other questions on transportation agenda?
Item six. So, Mr. Secretary, thank you. This is an amount for acquisition of real property for the Purple Line project, and I have a question about the total acreage that will be permanently acquired by the department with this $5.3 million item. Some people said it was 7.5 acres. Other people said it was 0.5 acre. And it's confusing from the briefing material.
Good morning, Governor, and Treasurer, Comptroller. I think there was an error on the original submission, which listed the entire size of the property, which is 7.55 acres. The state is acquiring.
Could you introduce yourself?
I'm sorry, Judy Friedman Brecken. I'm managing the real property acquisitions for the Purple Line project.
Thank you.
The Purple Line is acquiring 25,115 square feet in fee simple and 22,394 square feet in temporary construction easement, which causes the acquisition of two apartment buildings plus two partial apartment buildings.
Okay. And what was the appraised value of the property you're acquiring?
Our appraised value and our offer of just compensation was $3,639,300.
And what are we being asked to approve today?
Today, the negotiated settlement, which has been approved by the Federal Transit Administration, is $5,292,764.
Okay. Do you have the ability to quick take properties similar to what SHA has?
No.
Why not?
We follow different laws and state highway Section 8 of the Transportation Code gives them quick take.
Okay. MTA if I could just ask the Secretary to consider, it's a friendly suggestion here, asking the legislature, which is in session downstairs, to give your agency the SHA quick take authority, because this is not the first contract I've seen where I feel as if the state is being leveraged in our enthusiasm and support for the Purple Line. We're getting put over a barrel by some of these landowners, and we're having to pay a lot more than the appraised value. So if you could perhaps suggest that additional statutory authority would save millions of taxpayer dollars and correct something that I think is not a level playing field right now, I would be appreciative. This is a big chunk we're putting on the taxpayer's credit card.
Mr. Comptroller, I think your assessment is pretty much spot on in that properties that are on our critical path before we would come before BPW with this sort of a difference between what we've what the appraisal is and what we've negotiated, is that when it's on critical path, we look at what the cost of delay to the state will be for not being able to provide that property to the concessionaire for the continuation of construction. We would not bring this number to you if we are not, in this route, saving more than what it would cost to delay the project or this part of the project. But your comment about MTA not having quick take is absolutely valid.
Great. Well, if you could just suggest it to the leadership, that the governor supports it or the treasurer supports it, because this is just going to get worse.
I've never been a big quick take aficionado.
Yeah, but this is going to be get worse and worse as the private sector catches on. So we need to level the playing field a little bit, and I think it's worthy of at least consideration.
Mm-hmm. Certainly a good suggestion that we can talk more further about it.
Thank you.
Any other questions on transportation? Is there a motion?
Move approval.
Second. 3-0 on transportation. Last but certainly not least, Secretary Churchill, Department of General Services.
Good morning, Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. For the record, I'm Ellington Churchill, Secretary for the Department of General Services. The department has 8 items on our agenda, including 1 supplemental, and we're happy to take questions that you may have at this time.
Questions on DGS?
On item 6, if I could, I just want to thank the Secretary for working with my agency to enter into a 10-year lease with Annapolis West Limited Partnership to house our new Annapolis Taxpayer Service Center at 60 West Street. Currently, right now, we have literally thousands of Marylanders walking into the Treasury Building seeking help with their taxes or there for appointments with staff people. It creates a bit of a security issue, mm-hmm. since so much of our work is bound by IRS confidentiality rules, that we have set up a taxpayer services center where our citizens can easily access the taxpayer services that they need without getting into areas where there's sensitive data. And this off-campus location is going to be a big improvement for my agency. I wanted to thank the Secretary for working so closely with us, and we're very appreciative. So, Governor and Treasurer, I respectfully ask, I guess, if this item be approved. Didn't flag it for anybody.
Hold up.
It's a good issue.
The Comptroller's getting new office space? We have to put a stop to this.
Well, thank you, Mr. Comptroller. The office has enjoyed our working relationship with your office over these many months for this and other projects in the system. So,
thank you. Any other questions? Is there a motion?
Move approval.
Second. Thank you very much. That concludes the Board of Public Works.
Thank you.